The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For anybody who's over the age of, say, 45, there's an image that you will recall. Maybe some of you younger might recall it. But those of us, and I'm being kind, 45 or older, it's an image that you've seen, you've grown up with, and you'll remember as soon as I bring it up. You've seen it in stores, you've seen it in advertisements, you've seen it on television. For a time, it was everywhere. And remember the old RCA logo? Remember that? Had the little dog sitting in front of the old Victrola record player. You know, and I look at people like Evan. Evan's like, what's a Victrola? You know those little round things they call CDs? Okay, I mean, we don't even use those anymore. You know, we used to have big round things that were black. You know, they were called records. And the Victrola is what you played a record on. Now, when I came along, you know, people didn't have Victrolas anymore, but the RCA logo is something that we all recognize. Does anybody remember the caption that was underneath the little picture of the dog and the Victrola? Yeah, James. His master's voice. Yeah, his master's voice. The dog was listening to his master's voice. I knew a man in Charleston. He was actually a parishioner of mine at St. Barnabas for a while. And he had, in his living room, he had an old Victrola record player. He had to crank it up to get it to go. He had one of those in his living room. And he had plenty of old records that would go with it. And as you cranked it up and you watched it spin, of course, there's the dog, you know, the logo and everything. You're trying to watch that thing. And he once told me that he loved to listen to music on that old Victrola. You know, he called it a fine machine. That was his name for it. And it was an antique, or in his word, an antique. And he would explain that to the top of his lungs when he'd start talking about that thing. And he said, you know, he had a way of putting things. The music that came out of that as it crackled and popped was beautiful, not like that hideous stuff we have today, you know. That old Victrola record player spoke to him. That old Victrola record player, didn't matter what was on it, it brought him peace, it brought him calm. And it seemed that when his life would be turning upside down, all he had to do was sit in his living room and just put a record on the old Victrola and listen to it, and he would tell you that there's no sweeter sound. You know, that's what we think about when we think about the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sweeter sound. And Jesus, as he teaches us and he meets us in those places where we are, he meets us in our life, in our daily struggles, in our joys, in our happiness, in our sorrow. He meets us in all these places and he brings us peace and comfort as only our Lord Jesus can. And he would do this, and he would teach the people. He would, as he teaches us, he would teach in parables. He would teach in stories. He would use familiar visions and pictures and these things. He would talk about pastures. He'd talk about vineyards. He would talk about banquets. He would talk about all these things to teach the people the Word of God. And he would teach the people all about God's love and how all-encompassing God's love would be for his people. If God cares so much for his people, how much more would he care for all the people in the world? If God cares so much for the green pastures, if God cares so much for the flowers, if God cares so much for the birds of the air and the animals that walk around, how much more would God care for his people, Jesus would teach us. And he would go from town to town to town and synagogues all over the place, and he would read the scrolls from the prophets, and he would tell the people who came to hear him just about how much God loved them. But you know, not everyone was pleased with what Jesus had to say. Not everyone would listen to Jesus' words, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat, you know, just soaking in all of the knowledge and wisdom that our Lord had, the authority that he taught with. Not everybody was happy to hear that. We read time and time and time again how when Jesus would be in the synagogue or Jesus would be out in the town, that the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, those people who were in authority at the temple, all those people who thought of themselves as the experts, and here comes this carpenter turned rabbi turning things on their ear, they took such great exception to what Jesus would teach. They had a problem with Jesus. They had a problem with the way that he talked. They had a problem with the way that he would convey God's message of grace and mercy and peace. They had a problem with the way he lived his life. He didn't live his life according to the ways that they said you should live. He didn't always keep the best company. Sometimes he would have lunch with undesirables. Sometimes he would have compassion upon people with incurable diseases. For heaven's sake, Jesus would even walk up to a dead body and touch it and bring it back to life, making himself unclean. He didn't always observe all the rituals that the Pharisees said you had to observe. And worse yet, he would dare show compassion to a sick person in the synagogue on the Sabbath. This is where we find in Scripture, in Gospels especially, this is where we find the biggest problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those folks had with Jesus. All of these signs and wonders that he would do, all of this teaching with authority that he would give, all the love and compassion he would show to the people. In the minds of the Pharisees, there were too many people being swayed by this carpenter turned rabbi, and they were being led away from the law. Too many people were following him. Too many people were listening to the words that he had to say. Too many people regarded him as the Christ, the Messiah. Too many people claimed that he was the Son of God. Too many people followed them, and not enough were following the Pharisees anymore. Could Jesus really be the king they were all waiting for? Could he be this person who wanders from place to place, who really doesn't have a place to call his own home, who really doesn't have a place to lay his head? Could this person who pretty much just wanders around the countryside, could he truly be the promised Messiah? How is he going to restore the throne of David? The Pharisees couldn't figure that out. In their minds, it wasn't going to happen. You know, for centuries upon centuries, the Pharisees were the voice of the Jewish people. They were the ones who interpreted Scripture. They were the ones who interpreted the law. They were the ones who said, this is how God's people should live. And they did these things as they awaited the Messiah who would come and restore the kingdom of Israel. The one who would finally free the Jews from their oppressors forever. And yet, you know, when he finally did come, they didn't recognize him. They were so caught up in their own stuff. And like people today, the Pharisees didn't recognize the Christ because he wasn't the sort of king that they had envisioned. Jesus came fulfilling God's expectations, not theirs. They wanted a great warrior king. They wanted somebody who's going to stand up to Rome. They wanted somebody full of power and strength. They wanted a soldier to lead a great army. Jesus came in peace. He came in power. He came in the power of God's love. He came in humility. And in that humility, he delivered the people from their greatest weakness, the stain of their sin. You know, today, people hear the good news of Jesus. They hear all the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did. But it was so long ago that they can't wrap their minds around it. People today still want a Savior. They still long for a Savior, one who will deliver them from the hardship of their life. They want a Savior who's going to come and overlook all of their faults and see them as wonderful little sheep. They want a Savior who is going to come and give them comfort, going to give them peace. They want a Savior that's going to come and allow them to live a life on their terms so that they can be comfortable and do all those things they find so fulfilling and rewarding. They want a shepherd. They want a Savior who's going to come and let them live according to their expectations. They don't want a Savior who's going to come and rescue them from all that. You know, as Jesus heard the complaints from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, as he heard all of these things, and he tried to teach them the ways of God, as he heard all these things, they would ask him pointed questions, trick questions. He wouldn't answer them directly. Rather, he would let his teaching and let his miracles speak for him. Today we hear the familiar words of Jesus describing the relationship between himself and the people of God. He uses the metaphor of a sheep and the shepherd. Like sheep, we people, like sheep, we're fickle. We're fickle. We're prone to wander. We're prone to wander where we will, not really paying attention to what's going on around us. We don't always pay attention to the evil that's around us. Sometimes that evil is disguised as something so pleasing. Like sheep, we're prone to fall into those traps. All we're looking for is the next fulfillment, that greener pasture. But like sheep, God's people, like sheep, when we do wander, when the shepherd calls, we hear his voice. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who are people who are children of God, those who belong to the good shepherd, hear his voice, and when he calls, we follow. We hear his voice, and we understand that he is the one who has come to save sinners from our sin. He's come to save sinners from the grave. He's come to save sinners so that we may have life in God's kingdom forever. And through our worship together, through our life together, as we hear his voice, we recognize Christ is indeed the one who came to offer his life for the sake of the sheep. So many of those voices that we have today, Jesus tells us, are like the hired hand. They'll take care of you as long as you take care of them. They'll lead you to the places you want to go. But at the first hint of trouble, the hired hand will abandon you. At the first hint of trouble, they run for the hills. They won't offer their life for the sake of the sheep. Only the good shepherd, only Jesus Christ, is the one who lays down his life for the sake of the sheep. It's the charge, Jesus says, that he received from his Father. His Father sent him into the world for one purpose and one purpose only, to lay down his life for the sake of the sheep. That's why every year at Easter, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, after we've heard the resurrection accounts, after we've heard Doubting Thomas, after we've heard about the road to Emmaus, after we've heard about Peter being reinstated, after we've heard of all these things, every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear the gospel of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's why Jesus came. The world is so filled with other voices, voices that would lead us astray, voices who would disguise themselves as something good to draw us away from the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd overcomes these by laying down his own life. All of these things throughout the world who would seek to claim our lives, seek to snatch us from the Father's hand, Jesus defeated there on the cross as he laid down his life. That's the charge he received from his Father. He is the one who has the authority to lay down his life. And what does Jesus say about that? He also has the authority to take it back up again. We people, when we succumb to the authority of sin and death, we lose our life, we're dead. We don't have the authority to take our life back up. Jesus Christ has the authority to restore life. And since he has the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again through his death and his resurrection, he has the authority to raise us also from the dead. And that's the calling of the Good Shepherd. We hear his voice and we respond by living a life according to his will, not ours. We understand that the one purpose he came, he fulfilled, so that we might live in the glory of heaven forever. And the part of this gospel message that we can't ignore, Jesus says, I have sheep who are not of this flock. He came for their sake also, that they might hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that they might hear the good news of God's all-encompassing love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace. And so our shepherd calls us to go into the world and share this good news with others. To go out here into Chapin, to go into Columbia, to go into the rest of South Carolina, the Southeast, to go out into the world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter where we go, we have the opportunity to tell others just how much God loves them. Just how much God loves them that he would send Jesus to die our death and be raised to the glory of heaven so that we too might be raised. People of God, Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He is the one who came to conquer sin and death. He is the one who gave his life that we might be forgiven. He was the one whom God raised so that we might also be raised. He is with us. And as the psalm says, since he is with us and we have this assurance of his peace, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. As we go about in the mission of the world, as we go about our lives in this world, we know as we go in those dark valleys that Jesus is there with us. He walks through these dark valleys with us so that we might emerge on the other side safe, so that we might emerge on the other side forgiven, made whole. And when we sinners come into his presence and we invite others to come with us, he pours out his blessing in the cup of grace that overflows. He anoints our heads with oil. He welcomes us home. He feeds us the bread of life and the cup of blessing. And we realize this good shepherd, this fourth Sunday in Easter, we have the good news. That since our good shepherd laid down his life for the sake of the sheep, we are able to be raised along with him. People of God, that's the message of Easter. We're only halfway through the Easter season. That's the message of Easter, the one that's hope for all people. It's the message that sin and death no longer have control over us. They no longer have any power over us. It's the message that God indeed kept his promises through his Son, Jesus Christ, to save the world from sin. He is our good shepherd. We are his sheep. He knows us by name. When he calls, we answer him. He's told us this plainly. He's told us this through the words of Holy Scripture. He's told us this as he offers his body and blood to us. He's told us this as he forgives our sins. And he has told this to us plainly as he offers us eternal life in heaven. The message of Easter is, because Jesus died, we will no longer die. because Jesus lives, we will live forever. And this is the voice of our good shepherd. Or as that little dog on the Victrola goes round and round hearing his master's voice. This is the master's voice, that we should hear it and believe it and rejoice and be glad. Amen.